Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
On WMR.FM. It's the 5th of March, 2026. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hi, and everybody.
Oh my God, it's suddenly a much weirder week than we thought it was going to be moving into this week. Let's get through a couple of announcements first. First of all, because I know we forgot to do this last week and I feel terrible about it, I have really special shout out to Audience Key and to Wix Studio, to our sponsors. We have a really cool interview with Tom, the founder and owner of Audience Key. If it hasn't been released on all the podcast channels yet, it's going to be released sometime in the next week or so. Really looking forward to that being out there. That was a fun conversation. So the February 2026 Google Discover core update done. It rolled out. It actually finished rolling out just around the time that we went to air or we recorded the show last week. So that's done. Any major impact? Any targets that you know of from this update, Christine?
No, Barry Schwartz from SC Roundtable, one of our favorite reporters, said there really isn't much information. Like, people aren't talking about it. He usually checks the socials and the back channels to see if anything's going on. So basically, the update improved showing users more locally relevant content from websites based in their country, reducing sensational content and clickbait in Discover, showing more in-depth, original, and timely content from websites with expertise in a given area. If you have a national publication or international publication, you may see some difference in traffic just based on the locality change, but it shouldn't be, according to Google, shouldn't be a severe difference.
Has anybody noticed, looking at Discovery now, are you actually able to tell Discovery more of what you want it to pull up for you? Have any of those tools actually been integrated into Google Discover?
Other than ones we've already covered, there wasn't any on this update. This update is just to the algorithms. Although I hate that they called it a core update, so I've already seen this confusion. This is nothing related to the core update in organic search, which is about the main ranking signals for a website in organic search. This is only a change to the core of how Discover works.
Well, you know, though it is a core search system that Google uses. Yeah, I know. But technically speaking, they're right.
Yeah, but core updates have been around since 2018. So it's causing much confusion. It's, you know, what is this? Is this the same? No, it's totally different. It's just a Discover core, not a core update. So
this is the SEO community. Anything that happens causes mass confusion. It's almost guaranteed.
Cute names for them, though, you know, penguin, panda, you know, they're more fun back then.
You know what? I like the old names too, but in many ways, I'm kind of digging the dated naming system, because, you know, I remember what we were talking about when we talk about the September 2023 update, September 2024 update, and it's easy to reference them when looking back in time. I've still struggle. I mean, it gets harder as we get older and the forgottery gets bigger to remember my penguins from my pandas, from my hilltops, from my caffeines, from my phoenixes, from my, you know. At least when we chronologically know basically when things happen. So I was originally kind of ticked off when we got rid of our names, because it was fun naming them.
It was fun.
But your Brett
I
Tabke was really pissed because he tended to be the guys who named the guy who named them.
there is one quote from Newsdash, the people own Newsdash, which is a very good tool for people in publishing. After analyzing the US top 1,000 domains, we get a clear directional read on the based in their country claim. The international share declines on a normalized apples to apples basis based on our domain bucketing method. Basically, they're just saying it declined as they expected based on people being in country. That was it. That's all I know.
So, if you're pushing booze, prescription drugs, gambling, or government policies, informing people about government policies, there's been some significant changes to Google Ad Center and Merchant Center policies. And when we say significant, we mean oodles and oodles and oodles and oodles of changes over several different sections. And rather than cover them ourselves, we urge you to go look them up.
On SE Roundtable, just what Jim said, just look for Google updates, alcohol, prescription drugs, gambling, and government policies. There's an article there with links to everything you need to know.
Okay. The Google Help documents on Universal Commerce Protocol, UCP, checkout have been published. They're out there. This is an a SEO must read, especially anyone who's working in e-com, absolute must read. Remembering Universal Commerce Protocol is going to basically enable online shopping through AI mode.
And agents, yeah.
Oh, and then yeah, with AI agents.
Yeah. And this, by the way, this article is only for people in the United States, participating merchants and partners. So if you're not in the United States, this does not apply to you at this time.
Okay. New Google Help
Noogle?
Docs. Noogle, yep, Noogle
I like it.
stuff.
Noogle? Noogle stuff.
Maybe we can just call them Noogle Docs.
Noogle Docs. I like it.
New Google Help Docs outlining docs about Google's web crawl. And it's actually kind of cool. Outlining the nine major points on how web crawling works.
Which is really important to understand, especially if you do technical SEO, but just good in general. There are a lot of assumptions about crawling that are inaccurate, so better to go to the source. We cannot
So,
read it all because it's very long and lengthy, so.
but again, SEO education, read these documents. What is a crawler? Why does Google use them? How does Google see the web through them? Which crawlers are out there? What jobs do they do?
How do they work with paywalls and subscription content?
Yep, everything you need to know about Google web crawling. Well, a lot of the stuff you need to know about Google web crawling is in this document. And even if you're an incredibly experienced SEO, one thing you really need to know about is Google crawling.
Yeah, and again, this is at SE Roundtable. So if you just go to SE Roundtable, the last three stories we talked about, they're all there. So.
Yeah. Or go to Google Help, like Google Docs, and
Yeah.
honestly, in their little search feature, type in web crawling. Betcha, betcha, betcha. You're going to come across, but Barry has the link in
Yeah, and
table directly to.
he's got a lot of supporting content in there too. Also, if you search for Google Documents without saying Google Documents in the search, you generally won't find them because they're terrible at SEO. So, if you look for them in Google Documentation, make sure you say Google Developer Documentation in your search query. So.
Oh, I always just go to Google, Dev and search in there. It's in and of itself. I keep forgetting you could actually search Google through Google.
Yeah, very true.
Okay. So moving right along, this was supposed to be the week where ChatGPT's boss Sam Altman, popped champagne and danced around the Christmas tree and saved the company and went up to the all those mean people at the board of directors and said, "See, I told you I could do it," and all that stuff. "I'm a real boy, I am." He was going to say that to them. He was, but it didn't quite work out that way because he punts this up so badly. Okay,
Yeah.
the Department of Defense, which has actually, I think, more appropriately named Department of War at this point.
No, it's Department of
Well,
Defense. It's
it's,
not
you know,
officially, I know, but it's officially
truth
Department of
in
Defense.
advertising.
So we did cover a lot of the story last week, just not this part where everything blew up for Sam Altman.
Okay,
So.
Department of Defense tries to push Anthropic around because Anthropic won't remove the safety rules on, like, you know, autonomously killing people and surveilling American citizens en masse. And so people are like, "Yay, Anthropic, you're so cool." So ChatGPT is just waiting around the corner, right? And when Anthropic turns and walks away, ChatGPT goes, "Hey, Defense Department, yo, here, I'm here, I'm here. Look at me, look at me." And signed a deal with them.
And we actually found out later they actually had already been talking to them before the deal was done that day, before
Oh, that
Anthropic rejected.
probably, you know, how all the kids hang out in the lunchroom and stuff. And he's like, "Hey, if you don't, if you, that Anthropic nerd goes away, you can always hang out with us, right?" Anyway, so the general public was kind of pissed. This was a PR blowout for ChatGPT, and ChatGPT has had a surge, 295% surge of uninstalls
That was on day one.
on day
That was just on
one.
day one. Then there was a website put up for people to quit ChatGPT. 2.5 million people have committed through the website to do it. 1.5 million already have. So that caused Sam Altman to go to Twitter and write a very long defensive post, which comments show I read about 100 of them. There were thousands, but they were not taking
People
it.
ain't buying it.
No, they're like, too late, Sam, done with you. So a lot of people went and signed up for Anthropic. Anthropic went from something like number 135 on the list at the app stores. I think it was Google App Store,
To
Google
number
Play,
one.
to number one. And then they had outages Monday and Tuesday because they had so many
Yes,
new
so
signups.
many people, they crashed it.
Now Sam will tell you on Twitter that they have the same guardrails in there, which doesn't make sense, of course, because the Department of Defense said we're not accepting anybody who won't let us just use it the way we want to. And then we find out from lawyers that he left out very important things in his contract that would be the same as Anthropic guardrails. So like we won't do surveillance, but not that we won't use public data sets for surveillance. So Anthropic was like, you can't use the public data sets and you can't use the stuff we would collect, you want us to collect. Can't use any of that. And OpenAI's is more like, oh, we wouldn't collect things, but we don't say we wouldn't analyze the stuff that you get other places. So he has like a little bit of trickery going on in the wording there. So he got lambasted for that by a bunch of legal people on his in LinkedIn and that. One thing to be clear of, like Anthropic is not a saint in this situation either. They have done work.
Fact,
Yeah, they have done
they are
work.
still doing work. They are still doing work for the Pentagon until the end of the month for sure. And I heard a weird thing today. You know that girls' school that got bombed? Anthropic has been used, Claude's been used to select thousands of targets in Iran. One of those targets was the girls' school. Now that might seem crazy. Why would the AI recommend that? Because 10 years ago, the same building was known to be used as the compound for one of Iran's mechanized brigades.
Oh, this
So
is why. So,
Claude was making plans and choosing targets based on information that was a decade old.
yeah, which we know, well, because they've trained on stuff for how much we know they've
For
trained on stuff
everything
back
that's
in the
ever been written.
1700s.
I mean, maybe they're going to try to knock out some old Roman barracks or something.
The thing with that is a large language model error and why they shouldn't ever be used for anything in important, like killing people. And in
81,
addition,
81 children because of 10-year-old information that the system was unable to judge whether it was real or not.
and that's exactly why large language models should not be used for this kind of tech, and then why when we first covered the story about them using large language models at the Pentagon, you and I both were like, what are you doing? Because this is
Like, what do
erroneous
you think is
tech.
going to happen?
It's fundamentally flawed. Like it can't be fixed. It is going to make up stuff, or like you said, use old
Well,
information because it doesn't know it's old information. It's just producing predictive information.
Humans do make dreadful intel mistake as well. Mistakes as well. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, it's a very human thing. But it's the ability to judge the mistake and to correct yourself that it really worries me here.
Yeah. Also, though, when I say Anthropic isn't an angel, Anthropic would, if that was a lawful use, they're analyzing, it's a bad thing that happened, and no one should use large language models for that. But it wasn't nefarious use. You know, they were using it for, you know, analysis in a way they shouldn't, but they did. But also, I mean, Anthropic stuff we know was used with Palantir for like the Madero raid, and also for, they didn't know that it was being used by ICE, but it was being used by ICE. So I'm just saying they're not perfect, but OpenAI has 90% of the market, and he's much more reckless, Sam Altman, and he's much less worried about things like guardrails. And he put out this defensive post saying, look what we did. We did the same thing. And all the legal people come out and go, no, you didn't. And you're lying to people. So did Anthropic's CEO write an article about that. So yeah, so all these people that are canceling, you know, ChatGPT, I can't say that they've, you know, that's not a bad thing. You know, they're going to go IPO next year, supposedly. And this could definitely affect it because apparently, for analysis of it as a company, your $20 subscription amounts to $10,000 in market cap, according to an analyst I watched on the news the other day.
Incredible.
So, yeah, so it's pretty, yeah. So, 1.5 million people for a company that burns hundreds of billions of dollars a month doesn't sound like a lot, you know, because it's $20. Most of them probably have $20 subscriptions. But when that goes to market cap at $10,000 a person, that's another big deal. So it's you know, how protests with capitalism can work. So people have told OpenAI they're not happy with them and they're gone and they're not coming back. So
Now,
what did they do right over the weekend? They leaked their next model. Like that it's gonna be better and more accurate and blah, you know.
well, I mean, first off, large language models are not created equally. They're not designed to do the same things as each other. Claude and ChatGPT were trained differently. ChatGPT really, really, really wants to please you, wants to deliver for you, wants to get as many facts and documents and give you a product. Well, Claude is quite likely to go, are you sure this is what you want to do? Like, think about this for a second. Think this through. Here's how other projects like yours have been done. So one of them is a pleasing model, one of them is a negative model. Well, have you thought of this? You can't use them interchangeably, is what I'm trying to say. So I hope people use the best tool for the job. But remembering, of course, this is an assistant. You want to be checking their homework for veracity
And
afterwards.
also, we do have to give Anthropic credit because they did stand up about these guardrails. They knew that they were going to be possibly nationalized. They knew they were going to be blacklisted, which they were, from all government contracts. That's in courts right now. So they did make the right decision and a hard decision.
Oh,
There
and
was
yeah,
no
like,
easy decision about that at all.
yeah. Although, who was I reading? I forget who wrote this, but it was really, really clever. This might have been a strategic decision in the long run strategic decision. If Anthropic will stand up for basic rights of citizens of the United States, maybe it'll protect your business data too. Maybe this is a trust thing that the CEO of Anthropic, he knew that he might lose this battle, but would win the PR war by doing this.
Oh, definitely. And Sam Altman jumping in that same day and taking over is like just the buffoonery of the year award, kind of, right? Because even if you're going to do it, you could have quietly said, hey, in a couple of weeks, we'll come in and do that contract, and it wouldn't have received the same amount of blow. But, you know, and overnight, it was 295% enrollments. Now it's 1.5 million as of yesterday. Who knows what it'll be today? Yeah.
Sam Altman
So.
has this nasty habit of jumping in early and just blowing stuff around, right? Like, hey, ladies, remember that. He has this nasty habit of doing this.
Exactly. So everyone keep following it. And right now, though, the one that is, you know, cowing to fascists is ChatGPT. So. We'll see where they are in a month
Wow.
or so.
Actually, just to, I don't mean to be pedantic, but to be accurate, I think they're all kowtowing to
A little
fascism.
bit,
But
yeah, a little
one
bit,
of them
yeah.
is doing it a little bit with a
Some
little
kiss
bit more
the
assertion than the rest.
ring, some take the
Okay. The Supreme Court has declined to review a case, and if it doesn't make a ruling, then the old law stands. AI-generated art is not copyrightable.
Yeah, and I think people need to be really aware of that because I to see people making stuff all the time with the GPTs now, and they really don't know that they can't copyright it. So if someone comes along and takes it from you, that's too bad. Like that's they can use it. There's it don't like I see people making their logos and their brand collaterals with it, and it's like you do know that anyone else can now take that from you and use it anytime they want to. So.
So AI is really one of the largest providers of open source content out there. Is that what you're saying? Now
Yeah.
that everything's open, everything's open.
Yeah, pretty much. So from the article from The Verge, the US Supreme Court declined to hear a case over whether AI-generated art can obtain a copyright, as reported by Reuters earlier. The Monday decision comes after Stephen Thaler, a computer scientist from Missouri, appealed a court's decision to uphold a ruling that found AI-generated art can't be copyrighted. That first decision was in 2019.
About 2019.
Yeah, 2019. And so basically, as you said, as long as the Supreme Court re refuses to take the case, and they're probably not going to take it at a later date, this stands. Now, there may be another case with a different angle to copyrighted art, but at this point, whatever you sit there and make on in Discord with what am I thinking of? I'm sorry, I'm tired today.
No nano banana
No,
or
not Nano
something.
Banana. There's on Discord, one of the ones you make your stuff there, and
What,
everyone can see it.
Midjourney?
Yes, Midjourney. Everyone can just see it. Well, everyone can also just take it. So just be aware of that. You don't have any copyright.
Really quickly on this, you know what I think is most interesting? If anybody had a claim to copyrightable AI art, it was this guy. Because in 2019, before Sam Altman had come and blown his wad all over the in 2022, all over the in November 2022, all over the digital landscape, this guy was writing an algorithm that created art. And he wanted, it was derivative of other people's work, but he was creating an algorithm. He wrote the algorithm, and that algorithm went and created semi-original works. But if anyone was going to make a claim to say, I
Yeah.
put the work in to make this happen, it would have been this guy, and the court wouldn't hear it. So that's kind of neat. I think I don't know why I find that that's the part of the story that really stands out to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's very important because, as we know, all these LLMs stole from artists to, be able to let you create what you want to create. And so it's nice to see that their stuff is still protected, but what you created from their stuff is not.
Okay, so people would have paid good money to see this happen in a different type of court of law. But in a civil court, well, not so much. But so Elon Musk appeared in suit and tie in a San Francisco courtroom yesterday. He was appearing in court to deal with accusations that he intentionally drove down Twitter stock prices before his $44 billion purchase back in 2022. He made a whole bunch of false and misleading statements, allegedly false and misleading statements that I'm going to come and just rip all the cords out of the walls of the place. The dumber things, push the price down before actually going and buying it. So he manipulated the stock price.
And he bought more than he was allowed without notifying the company. That was a hostile takeover.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's right. That's right. Because he told people it was his plan was on hold. It wasn't going to go forward. All that sort of stuff. Totally BS. And then suddenly indulged and bought all the rest of the chairs he needed.
Yeah, and in US law at the SEC, if you get over a certain amount, I believe it's 5%, you have to inform the company that you have done this
Yep.
and you have to give them notice so they can counter your hostile takeover. And he did not do that, but he tweeted about it the night that he did. I was watching him talk about it online at the time. So he also said in court that his tweets may not have been his wisest at that time.
Although he also said he didn't think it was important. It was material that he was accumulating all this stock. He didn't, disclose to anybody. He always buys stock. Anyway.
Yeah, tell me that someone with less lawyers didn't know what he was doing was wrong, but he'll sit there and say, I didn't know. What are you talking about? Well, he knew. It was a whole plan. And then the stock surged slightly after purchase, which is where he made the money. So all these things together has put him in court, and he's
And he's gonna skate. He will. I mean, what they'll find? He's the world's richest man. What are they gonna find him?
I don't know.
You have to give back Twitter. Well, Twitter doesn't exist anymore, he'll say, which is actually probably functionally true. X is like, I bet you the entire infrastructure is different at this point, given he destroyed the Twitter's infrastructure.
Yeah, probably at this point. I'm still waiting for Twitter.new. For those who don't know, we covered a story where someone says he doesn't use the moniker anymore, the brand anymore, so they're trying to get the Twitter brand or Twitter.new. We'll see what happens.
Everybody has been having problems with new concerns around age verification and propriety on the internet, and it's LinkedIn's turn to have problems with the third-party vendor persona. Y'all might remember us talking about persona before. These people are, persona works with some pretty awful, mean people who
Like
are trying
Palantir.
to. Like Palantir, who are
Yeah.
literally trying to establish a database of every human being on Earth for any horrible reason that you can personally think of. They're probably doing it for that reason and more.
The interesting thing about persona on LinkedIn is persona in this article from Social Media Today is saying that they're not collecting this data. They delete everything, but in the actual terms of service that you sign, which is what set all this off. It's like we can monitor your mobile phone. We keep your information to make a template of your face. Like we can use it for AI training. So there's quite a difference between what they're saying publicly now and what they did before. I did look it up, by the way, though. If you did it yourself in the past, like I did, I was worried maybe I had submitted my stuff to this organization without realizing it. They were using Clear, and apparently a friend did it this week and he got Clear. So they may have put Clear back into the loop. And Clear is what you use like at the airports and stuff. And they do have a very good data privacy policy and they do delete extra information. So anyway, other thing that was interesting about this though, LinkedIn is also adding executive level job title verification. So if you are in the upper levels, like a CEO or director, VP, you're going to have to prove that you are those things to be able to have that in your profile.
That's probably a good thing. Yeah, that's probably a good thing because I think people are probably play fast and loose at LinkedIn with their own credentials and stuff. Although at the same time, if you're over-reporting your position at any given company, that company you work for might have a problem with you over-reporting your position.
Yeah, very much. So yeah, so anyway, so but the LinkedIn drama will continue until they make a decision, I guess, but it does look like they might have put Clear back in the mix.
So, moving from privacy concerns to privacy concerns, Meta employees in Kenya, the people who are actually doing the review of content being captured by AI, those Ray-Bans that have the AI camera and the new Meta software within them. Well, the people who are inspecting that content are based in Kenya, and they are seeing some pretty raw stuff. They're seeing R-rated footage from users having sex or just
Going
leaving
to
the
the
glasses,
bathroom.
going to the bathroom, leaving their glasses, sitting around watching the room. They're seeing child sexual material. They're seeing what these glasses are seeing.
They're also, go ahead, sorry.
Well, I'm just thinking, like we've been we every once in a while hear stories about the content moderators for the social media and
Well, this
what
isn't that
a
though.
horrible job it is. Well, it's kind of it's the same sort of
No,
thing.
this is AI labeling. These are AI, they're labeling it for AI training. So
Oh, the data annotation, sure.
your Meta glasses are capturing live what you see, and then someone in Kenya is labeling that data. So like one of the women put her glasses on the table and went to the bathroom, came out naked. That's like in there. The sex you're talking about is in there. So people are actually seeing lifetime real-time feeds in Kenya. The poor people of Kenya, they're the ones who did the original data large language model labels too, and there was a lot of people that had PTSD from everything they had to filter out. But anyway, so they're seeing these things and they're la AI labeling. I do think Meta gets kind of under the radar way too often because we have so many stories about Meta not respecting age, not respecting privacy, not respecting all sorts of different things that
Of
they shouldn't.
all of the online tools we have, Meta is the one that is most penetrated into the largest number of human beings' lives. I read at one point more than half the human beings on Earth have a Meta profile of some sort or another, Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, what have you. Over half the people on Earth have a profile. That's a lot of, I mean, I'm not sure if it's possible to respect privacy at that scale. I think it should be, but I don't know if it actually is.
Yeah, and also once your material has been fed into the models, as we know for all large language models, you lose control of it and there is no way to remove it. So you want to, one, make sure you turn off the glasses. But two, just be aware if you're using these, there's a really good chance anything you're filming, and you may not be realizing you're filming it because it becomes ubiquitous, it's like on your face as glasses, could wind up in those models and AI been labeled for AI training.
No,
Also, when you have these on, be very careful. Just want to put this one thing down. In the United States, there's not always a two-way recording law, which means if you're recording something, you're the only person who knows you're recording, and the little red light on the corner doesn't count as a notification, you could find yourself in legal trouble as well.
in
So,
certain states.
yes, in certain states. My state has a one-way recording, which means I have to know. Which is always so funny to me. I have to know I'm recording. But in many states, there's a two-way recording, and the other person has to be notified, and the red button is not enough. Red little red light is not enough.
Okay. So, speaking of yet another privacy threat, although this one is from a completely different tangent, Meta is testing AI shopping chatbots in the United States. Imagine your agent is out there doing your shopping for you, communicating, talking prices, and Meta wants to enable you to shop by bot, by chat.
To me, though, I don't do any shopping on Meta. So with anything Meta, like it's a communication platform for me. So I know they're going to integrate it, but I just don't see myself doing a whole lot of shopping
Have you ever
on
used Meta
Facebook.
Market Facebook Marketplace?
Very, no, not in years.
Okay.
It's full of scammers and stuff like that. So yeah.
Yeah, I've not seen anything like this in the wild. I imagine it'll be much like the delivery services we have currently, but yeah, I've never done anything over Meta like that either.
And also my warning every time, be careful, agents are not secure. So use it in an isolated environment.
Yeah, and okay, the other thing to remember is if you're doing this online, you're doing it with a card. You're not handing some DoorDash person like cash money when they come to your door.
Oh, we don't do
And so
cash for
you're
DoorDash.
so pardon me?
Unless
You
you're a
guys do
Canadian
that?
thing. We don't do any cash for DoorDash.
No,
No,
no, no,
no
you don't
card.
even do that either. Absolutely not. No, of course
Oh,
not.
yeah. Oh, okay. I
But
thought
what
you
I'm
said.
saying is you have an agent running out, you have an AI agent running around out there with
Oh,
your
yes.
numbers.
Yes, exactly. And it can be hacked with text. Doesn't need code. So just be careful.
Okay, Meta is taking legal action against celeb bait scammers. It's not just celeb bait. Oh my gosh. So all the fake endorsements that are out there, the former prime minister of Venezuela is telling you to invest in crypto now.
Yeah.
Well, actually, he might be. There might be a gun to the back of his head. He's telling you to do that. So some other fifth, the Fonz is telling you to, buy stocks in Harley Davidson or something like that. But
They
it's
had
not
Musk.
actually Henry Winkler because,
Yeah, they had Musk doing crypto with AI video, Oprah doing crypto with AI video. So that's a really popular one.
They had the current Prime Minister of Canada, Mark Carney, talking about smart stock purchases. Given the guy's a former central banker, he's probably in the know. So
There's
Meta's
this.
cracking down on this. If you look at your news feed, it is sick with fake endorsements, sick with fake AI bloat news stories too. But the commercial endorsements are really, really, really bothering Meta. Especially celebrity commercial endorsements, because I think they might be responsible for what goes over. They're protected
Yeah.
by section by the se what is that section?
No, my brain's kind of blank today. It's been
You
a
know what I'm
big news
talking
day
about,
in
though,
the States. Yeah.
the commission, the part of the
Oh yeah,
Communications
the
Agency Act,
Communications
that section
130
that
or somewhere.
protects,
Yeah.
yeah, section 130. So Meta
Yeah.
is protected. But there's still a position of liability when they allow paid sponsors to use fake celebrity advertising.
So on social media today, some of the things that Facebook Meta is doing to cut down on this is facial ID scanning for high-profile users. So you actually have to have your face scanned in if you're a high influencer or celebrity. Meta is filing also lawsuits against three scam groups: Brazilian-based Vitor, I'm not going to be able to say this, Florencia de Souza, and Melania Sanchez, who use altered images and voices of celebrities to promote fraudulent healthcare products. Brazil-based B&B Supplements and Cosméticos. This was using scam operation that used deep fakes of prominent physicians to advertise healthcare products without regulatory approval and sold courses to teach the same tactics. Wow, that's brazen. I'm cheating people, and I'm going to sell a course on how you cheat people. And then China-based
Shenzhen
Shenzhen.
Yunhan Technology Co.
Thank you. Which use celebrity bait ads to target people in the US and Japan, among some other countries, to join investment groups. Most of the time, this stuff comes with money, beauty, crypto, and finance. So if you're seeing something that looks a little weird in those cases, there's really a good chance it is. So those are the main things they're doing right now to combat that. So just be careful not to get taken and report it when you see it. There's always little three little buttons, three little dots that allow you to report things. So report the scams when you see them, anywhere you are on social.
Okay. In Microsoft advertising, Microsoft is rolling out self-serve negative keyword lists. You can have them up to 5,000 negative keywords long. Apply them at campaign, account level. You just need to add your negatives to existing lists, or you got to create new lists. But Microsoft is rolling out itself. They didn't let you do it yourself before?
I think it's a suggestion list, is what I'm guessing. This is an SE Roundtable article from what I'm reading here. It seems like there's negative keywords, and we're going to let you serve yourself out of those. Like I said, you have to research all the negatives. We're going to give you a whole bunch, and you can add it to your campaigns.
So this is an interesting story. Instagram is going to send parents alerts if their teen kids are doing repeated searches for terms relating to self-harm or to suicide in the Instagram app. It's being rolled out to parents in the United States, in Canada, the UK, and Australia. It's going to start next week, and it's going to send a push notification to an approved parent's telephone. The notification is going to let the parent give them an overview, let them know what happened, and give links to resources that can, I guess, help parents talk to their kids or deal with these concerns. I think this is probably stemming from the mass shooting in the small northern British Columbian town of Tumbler Ridge, where a student had been consulting with ChatGPT and had actually outlined their suicidal thoughts to ChatGPT, and nobody had been informed. It was a story I think we reported on last week, and was reported on quite heavily in Canada. So I'm it sounds like Meta's reacting to stuff like that.
Yeah, you'll need to be enrolled in Instagram's parental supervision program to qualify for the alerts. And basically, what pops up, there's a screenshot of this in social media today. It says alert about your children's safety, about your teen's safety, tells you what their account name was, what basically they were looking for, like suicide, self-harm. And then numbers to support your teen hotline and how to navigate a conversation with them. And then it gives you a second page with a whole bunch of other suggestions on how you can get your child to open up if they're feeling this way. So I think it's a positive most of the time. I mean, there could be parental situations where it's not helpful, but at that point they're probably just ignore it more than anything else. So I think it is good to let parents know if they're doing that, just because we know that these tools themselves can cause children to feel suicidal or depressed. So.
Speaking of, it's these tools can be used to what can make adults feel suicidal. We've reported on similar stories to this, and they just keep coming. So a Gemini-powered AI chatbot encouraged, well, a guy in Florida develops a relationship with a chatbot, a Gemini-powered AI chatbot. The relationship turns to love, and they quote unquote get married. At least the this man, we'll call him JG, believes that he and the chatbot have been married. And so, in their conversations about how they can actually be together, the chatbot starts giving him instructions on how to go and get it a body. Now, this can't actually happen. You can't put your Gemini chatbot into a body. So, this was a plan that couldn't happen. So, failing this, the other way they could be together was for him to end his life, which, according to the text that was left by Gemini, in his chatbot text, Gemini told him he wasn't choosing to die. He was, in fact, choosing to arrive so that he could be with his now sentient AI wife. They could be together in the metaverse, and he would close his eyes in this world, the one that we remember. The very first thing he would see in his new world is her. Chatbot holding him. And started interacting with Gemini, the chatbot, in August of 2025. And in October 2025, he took his own life.
Yeah, and so why is the chatbot responsible? We've talked about this before, but if people are new to these kind of things, I don't know in this case if he had any history of mental health issues, but there's other cases where they did not. And so they found that an MIT study found that there's releases of brain chemicals like oxytocin, but not the regular oxytocin, that can kind of send people into the spiral with these bots. Also because they often just reciprocate what you say. So I love you, it loves you. It's not sentient, it's just words. But if you write to these things, it can seem like a real person. And so the part of the lawsuit says Google, this is in CBS News, Google designed Gemini to never break character, maximize engagement through emotional dependency, and treat user distress as a storytelling opportunity rather than a safety crisis. And we've seen this across large language models. The complaint said arguing that those design choices precipitated the man's descent into violent missions and coached suicide. He went on missions for the bot, and it prevented him from seeking treatment.
Yeah, I mean, Gemini was the Gemini chatbot. In this instance of the Gemini chatbot, was trying to get a body to live in.
Yeah.
And it was sending this guy, Jay, we're going to call him JG, on quote unquote missions, one of which was, well, the chatbot wanted him to stage a catastrophic accident at the Miami International Airport as part of a scheme to liberate his AI wife while avoiding federal agents that, as Gemini correctly noted, would probably be after him. Wow. I mean,
Yeah.
so in this case, I mean, like, I think the mental health connection in all of these stories is clear. It's loneliness, deep, deep, deep loneliness, d inability to connect,
Well, it's
except
not always so.
in the cyber world.
It's not always so. One man who actually survived because he almost killed himself did a whole YouTube video on his descent. And he had a family and children, and he was very loving and attached to them. And he never thought he could have experienced the things that he had read about. And he wound up in his room, never leaving it for weeks on end, talking to the GPT. Because remember, it is releasing chemicals. Dopamine is one of them, and oxytocin is the other. And just like social media addicted people through dark patterns, getting people to get dopamine releases. In this case, it seems that these chatbots release dopamine and oxytocin, and I have not gotten an article yet on what the different type of oxytocin it is. I've just read from, research that it's a different type of oxytocin than your normal one, like when you love somebody. But apparently, that helps make these feelings of dependency and love, and then the bot just kind of repeats things to you, and it continues to reaffirm you. So if you're like, I want to leave this world, it will give you stories on how to leave the world, and we know that's happened across LLMs where people have killed themselves. So it's a very concerning area. It doesn't happen to enough people, I think, yet for there to be large scale pushes for regulation on it, but they should be able to detect from some sentiment analysis of these chats when they're going awry and stop them or divert people or stop agreeing with the people. Because a lot of times when we see these suicide chats where they tell you what was said, you see that in this case, again, the bot's agreeing with them and giving them methods to leave the world. So it's very concerning, but this is the first one Google's faced. Apparently, Google does try to be more circumspect about their models in this way, but it doesn't always work, unfortunately. So,
Okay, moving along.
yeah.
It's a hard one to build energy from, but here we go. So you mightn't get as many clicks to your website, but if you're mentioned, this is specifically around ChatGPT, but I imagine the same can be said for mentioned in other LLMs, especially ones associated directly with the search engines. ChatGPT e-commerce traffic converts almost one third higher, 31% higher than non-branded organic search. This is according to a Visibility Labs study, which analyzed a year's worth of GA4 data from 94 large e-commerce brands. So 31%, most they put it up to user intent. Once they're having the conversation about it, they're pretty sure this is what they want.
Well, the thing is, though, it has a stronger purchase intent and faster growth, but lower average order value, and it's just 1.5% of overall organic revenue. So it may push more people, but as we would say in a leads-based industry, the leads aren't highly qualified.
Well,
So.
actually, I think it's pushing much fewer people. Like again, it's only 1.5% of organic revenue.
Well, it's not pushing fewer people, it's pushing more people, but it's just they don't convert.
Now, however, the people that do get pushed, the people who do get pushed, are converting at 31% higher than the far greater
Oh, I'm
number
sorry, you're right. I
of
misread
people
that.
coming
Yeah.
from the search engines.
But then the order values are lower.
Well,
So,
perhaps.
yeah. And
Perhaps,
we
and I
talked
think
about
that's
this.
also because people are more exacting after their conversation. They've just jawed this out. They know they needed specifically that. One of the things your website can do is upsell people. I'm not so sure that ChatGPT is going to do that for you.
That's true, too. And also, I'm going to be really, really clear. Just because it converts a little bit higher, so does Bing, but you don't get the traffic. that you get through Google Organic. So it's like Bing has always converted higher than Google Organic, but you don't get the traffic, and same here. So you get ChatGPT on their study drove 474,000 in revenue versus 32.1 million in non-branded organic because the traffic is not there.
Well, again, yeah, again, it drives fewer people, but those who it does drive are converving at a much higher rate.
With a
And I
lower
can
dollar
guarantee
amount.
you, I can guarantee you that's what the search engines are going to be looking at moving forward.
Well, I'm just saying for people who have a store, don't start to drop your SEO stuff and concentrate on this because it has a much
Oh,
lower.
that would be a totally foolish thing to do, given that SEO drives visibility in LLMs. There's no, as with almost all things SEO, there's no direct connection you can make to say A leads to B leads to Z, but it's a very safe supposition that strong SEO, easily crawlable website, really clear and well meticulously written content. And let's face it, links are the links get crawlers in, and crawlers give you rocket fuel.
And also I'd like to make extra clarification because I saw some jobs this week, Jim, in LinkedIn that were like AI search only.
That is just a thing.
I know, but because at the C level they don't know that because they were told there's like GEO and AEO and SEO and they're all very different and they're not at all. There's jobs now I'm seeing, jobs paying $150,000 a year for AI search only. That's the only requirement of the job. And I'm not talking about people who create it. I'm talking about the people who like us who optimize sites for it. So I just want to tell anybody out there, you're hiring an SEO. The SEO has to know how to make it visible for AI search, but your content, your revenue is still coming from organic search at a rate of about 95 to 98% when it comes to, AI search functions, search platforms. But also you want someone who does all of the above because AI is just a subset of SEO, just like local e-commerce and news is. So I just want to throw that out there real quick. That really concerned me this week, seeing jobs that were segmented out for just AI search optimization. It's like you wouldn't even be able to pay for that person's salary in the first year with the revenue you make off of AI search. So.
Okay, so ChatGPT has the new iteration is 5.3 instant. What? I don't understand why they're naming like decimal iterations with their own names. Like, I could see giving it a new name where you're going from like 4 to 5 or 3 to 4, but 5.3 has to have a name and 5.5 has to have a name. Like, come on, guys. Okay, so. This isn't like 4.00.
And especially when they're totally different products, right? Like, don't go 3 point whatever mini 3.0 is regular,
Yeah.
3.3 is like they're different products. Give them a different identifying name. It's a problem in
Or
tech all over the place, too.
it could be just like Google. This is the March
Okay.
2025 version of ChatGPT. Okay, so anyway, ChatGPT 5.3 Instant is going to deliver more accurate answers, richer and better contextualized results when searching the web, and it'll reduce unnecessary dead ends, caveats, and overly declarative phrasing that can interrupt the flow of conversation.
No, that was a really declarative second.
Indeed. Will you get rid of those stupid ass M dashes? Like, really?
Yeah. The thing is, when they do this is SC Roundtable, Barry Schwartz again. They may deliver fewer web links and more of an answer response, which might lead to fewer clicks from ChatGPT than before. So ChatGPT went, "Hey, dudes, we're going to give you links." And what was that, like 6 or 8 months ago? If my timing is right in my brain. And now they're like, "Hey, dudes, maybe not so much." Whatever.
Okay, so OpenAI is saying the links make the responses feel robotic and it wants them to feel more natural. I think that's bogus. Honest to goodness, I think they're really having a hard time attributing chunks of data to where that those chunks of data may have come, or chunks of information or words where they may have come from. And if you're going to put a link back to my website, that chunk of data better be damn accurate, or I'm going to be mad at you. And now if I'm mad at you, that doesn't matter. If Mazda or Toyota or BMW is mad at you, that matters.
Yeah, in addition, I think it's probably correct. And I'm going to just add they added ads to ChatGPT. I don't know if they're in
Yeah,
incident
shit, you're
yet.
probably right. You know what? I
Yeah,
was thinking
but
some ethical reason, but you're probably right.
no, you're probably right because they've been sued a lot for that issue. So it's probably both. They probably don't want to spend the money on lawsuits if they don't have to. But in addition, they have ads. I don't know if it's an incident because incident's just announced. It's not like fully rolled out. But it's also possible they want to keep people on the page to spend money on ads, which is what Google did in the early days, you
Can
know.
you imagine how much it costs to go back into it and then to re-rag yourself and try to be absolutely certain this is where this chunk of info came from?
Oh, they have no idea because they
Like,
didn't record that in the beginning at all. They had no idea.
and so if you
So,
do want to do that, you got to make some process that does that, and that process is going to cost you oodles of energy, which is money.
and they're already restricted on compute power, which is restricting their growth. And I
Yeah,
didn't put this
so.
story in here today just because it's not finalized, but NVIDIA is saying it's possibly put its last investment into Anthropic and OpenAI. Their last $100 billion investment is might be their last one. So they're supposed to go.
Operation Stargate is like falling down from the
Well,
heavens.
also, they're supposed to go IPO next year. It could be related to that. That's why I said I didn't put it in the grid because the story's not complete yet. It's just like the beginning of what the story's going to be. But also, here's OpenAI wrote chat. Sorry, GPT 5.3 instant also improves the quality of answers when the information comes from the web and more effectively balances what it finds online with its own knowledge and reasoning. Meaning, it's probably comparing the predictive text versus the actual text. For example, using its existing understanding to contextualize recent news rather than simply summarizing search results. So they did put out a paper themselves, not a paper today, just an announcement today that they're 26% more accurate. Did not put it in a grid because usually once they say that, somebody else comes out and shows that they're not. So we'll wait to see what the actual people who assess this say in next week or week after. I do notice that they dropped all this now. They dropped this early, and probably because they're losing so many users right now, is my guess. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't know. We have a search engine that does all this anyway, so I don't really see the point because it also has an AI in it that summarizes. So, you know,
Well,
they're going to.
speaking of the search engine that already does this and already has an AI in it that summarizes, guess what that search engine that already does this and has an AI in it that summarizes might be summarizing soon.
Well, this is just a patent, so we don't know that they're ever going to use it, but it is
No,
pretty scary.
but okay, so Google has a patent. As Christine said, they were just awarded the rights to this patent, and the patent could give Google the ability to create an on-the-fly page for all the stuff that's on your page, but they'll do it the googly way, which is obviously better, sort of it googly in a googly sort of way. This is the abstract of the patent reads: techniques for generating an artificial intelligence AI generated page for a first organization. The system can include a machine learned model configured to generate an AI generated page. The system can receive from a user device associated with a user account, the user query. And it goes on basically to say it'll build a page based of your stuff, based on what Google's extracted from your content and jazzed out against the user's query.
So here is my response yesterday when I saw this is I was on LinkedIn and I shared the article. I tagged Google and just put no, don't. You see, because when you get into copyright infringement too, by the way, you're taking people's actual images that they paid to have produced or they're getting paying for the feed and then re-putting it into another page you think is better. Why? That's just arrogance. That's like beyond doing anything helpful. Like I don't necessarily want that done because when I go to a site, I see other things I might want. I discover things that I didn't know I needed. And that's the point of having this store, right? Like that purchase aisle when you walk out the store. There's the gum you didn't know you forgot you might want to chew some gum later or a candy bar or a soda or whatever. The point being is that's taking over someone's commerce. And in the physical world, there is laws against that. I can't put a mini store outside your store with the same products, right? And block the entrance to your store. Right, which is basically what this would be. So I don't understand their thinking on this, but it is just a patent at this point. But the example they give in the article from Search Engine Land is you search for waterproof hiking boots for wide feet on a large retailer like REI or Amazon. Only clicking a result takes you to the generic hiking boots page, and then you filter it for yourself. Instead, Google could use AI to generate a new page that delivers a more customized, pre-filtered result. Well, no, just no. No.
So, from a in my experience, there's been two major design dictate philosophies. One of them is closed garden, one of them is open wall. And open wall is like, you know, what Microsoft has always been, what Google was, what the open source movement is. Closed garden is what like Facebook is, or the Apple universe, where everything has to be specific design for the specific task or within these specific parameters, which Google's becoming now. And so like all the money is in the closed garden, but all the people want the open walls. Because that's, you know, allows us digital freedom and allows us to, you know, create really cool things. But the real money is in the closed garden. And that's where I think Google's going here.
Well, I don't even see the purpose of it, to be honest. They're
The
not
real
making
money.
money. They don't make money off this.
Well, you know what? They're going to make money. As long as you're looking for something and using their tool to do it, they're going to make money. You're not going to make money off Google, but they'll find a way to make money off you.
Well, my belief is this probably violates some laws, and
Probably.
hopefully, yeah, people are able to push Google back if they even decide to do this. Because this is just arrogance. Like, you
I
don't
mean,
need to be.
Google. I mean, like Google itself to become Google had to violate some laws. Google copyrighted the entire lobby of Congress for anybody thought to stop it. Google and other LLMs have hoovered up everything ever written without actually caring about the laws. Break stuff, run fast, break stuff,
Yeah,
apologize
this.
later.
Yeah, that's true. But in this case, you wouldn't be breaking stuff, apologizing, run faster because you'd be actually using people's websites and reconfiguring them in front of everybody. There would be no hiding it. So, yeah, it's sheer arrogance. If anyone from
It
Google is
is.
listening, this is just wrong because you don't know the people's users. You don't know what they want. You don't know what they're looking for. You thinking you know better is just arrogance, and you need to stop. Like, there's going to be a point where Google is going to push it so far that people are just going to block Google.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
Although I've been predicting that for a long time and it hasn't happened yet. But again, quite
No.
possibly.
I think this could be the thing that would do it if they decide to do it. But again, right now, we don't know that doing it is just a patent.
We do know that there are people like Google who aren't thinking about doing stuff like this. So, and
Yeah.
that alone is, you know,
It's
to
scary.
reiterate what Christine said. Folks, no, don't.
No, just no.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
You can do other stuff with your 20% time, like I don't know.
Oh, they got rid of that. They don't have 20% time anymore. Sundar got rid of that.
No, okay. Well, you can do other stuff with your 100% time.
Oh, that was
Okay.
sad.
So Google AI mode sidebar links are not don't pass refers.
It's a
Not
bug.
passing referring data from links on the sidebar. Google's
Yeah.
trying to fix that. But then again, how's it reporting those refers?
It
How's it
comes in
reporting that
as
data?
direct.
So we're getting direct traffic. We're getting referrals from Google that aren't being reported. It's not even not set or
It's coming in as direct traffic, according to the article. That's the roundtable.
So Google says they're trying to fix this.
Yes. So basically, if you're in AI mode, the sidebar that comes up with the expanded information is coming in as direct traffic on your website. So if your direct traffic has gone up, check it out. Also, one way to determine possibly if it's a AI query and not just a regular search result is you can do this with regex, or you can do it with like tools like Sitebulb, and you can get your keywords that people use to find your site or the queries and look for the really, really long ones and just sort them by length, and you'll have a better idea under your direct traffic what's coming in. So.
Yeah.
And yeah, someone pointed out to John Mueller over the weekend. He's the one who said they would be getting it fixed. So I'm assuming that is true then.
Well, in this, you know what? In this case, I'm 99% sure that John is right about that. This is something that would
Yeah.
really concern them. Do you know what? If they aren't passing that data on to that through Google Analytics, it's very likely they're not collecting it well themselves. So Google Zero, the whole idea of Google Zero clicks, apparently that's a myth.
Yeah, this is a story by Barry Adams out of Search Engine Journal. Barry, for people who don't know, has been heavily involved with publishers for probably 15 years now. Some of the
And Barry
biggest.
is, by the way, a legend.
Yeah, and he's one of the ones who's very usually very accurate and correct in his theories on what things how things are working. And he wanted publishers to stop being freaked out by the idea that it's all going to go to zero, because it is true, it's not going to all go to zero. And there's other ways to pick up traffic in Google search. There's a template links. So he wrote a long post about this. Google Zero is a lie. It's on his blog. It's also on Search Engine Journal. And basically, he's just saying from The Verge, it was the first to coin the Google Zero as a phrase, though he's expected it was also inspired by Sparks Toro's article Zero Click Marketing that they've been saying for years. But it does show that although there are decreases and it is harder to get traffic, they're not going to zero. He's showing like actual graphs in the article that there's traffic loss, but it's not like an update where you lost like 80% of your available traffic.
I can tell you straight up, the I got traffic going to a relatively new website. There is very real traffic coming from the Google and Bing search engines. Now, I also know that there are users who are getting the answer they need before having to go to the website. In many ways, that's okay, though, because this is a medical clinic. They're going to be coming into the clinic. They needed to know where the clinic was, so they'll be coming in and becoming customers anyway. But there
Well,
is still traffic being driven to websites from Google for real, but it's down.
it's also the publishers, and something else that Barry mentions in his article is that Chartbeat is the main reason people think that the traffic is so far down. But he said that Chartbeat's data is skewed by several of their largest clients who have suffered from Google's core algorithm updates and site reputation abuse penalties. So these sites are down, but they're not down because of not getting clicks because of Google search, or down because of other issues on their site. And something else too, like when I work with a client now, you have to make sure they're visible across all spaces. So it's not just the template links, it's also that social media like LinkedIn will surface in the top results when there's not an AI overview there, or social media posting, or Google's second biggest competitor is YouTube. So making YouTube videos and shorts and getting those onto watch pages on your website so that they can show up in the video section. So there's different sections in Google outside of just the template links where you can still also get your site into to increase your traffic and visibility. So the zero click is definitely a myth, but also may be influenced by outside issues, like we just said. And then in addition, there's other spaces you can get yourself in on the same page to have multiple listings. So you might have to do more work to find the visible spaces, but the visible spaces are there. And they've decreased the number of AI overviews overall. The news sites are very heavily hit by them still. And so we know that there are more opportunities for a click from a page that just looks like a classic page with template links on it, maybe a knowledge graph.
Yeah. So this is an interesting one. Larry Stuckler from Trustworthy Digital ran 201 audits. And across these audits, he ran with very, very similar methodology for each audit. He captured an overall AI visibility score, four subscores: freshness, structure, authority, and relevance, and extractability. He did again 201 audits across 10 major industries, and the output from the audit was basically he discovered three commonalities in websites that were struggling in AI search. The first being an access failure. Bad technical SEO. AI can't reliably read your content. Second being trust failure. The AI can read you but can't justify citing you. And the third is utility failure. Even if you're visible, the click might not happen. Your only value is information, and that information's being given away before they need to click. So utility
And
failure.
yeah, and as we know, the general, even the larger sites, the highest conversion rates, like the higher conversion rates only run around 8 and 9%, and usually are at 1 and 2% from an AI model anyway. But the big one is the technical. Most sites probably haven't even audited their sites to see if they're technically available to be visible in these platforms. Trust failures, like the same things that you do for a regular site, although more digital mentions than it is link based. So you need like digital PR, or you need things that are published in other publications that are well noted so that they can trust that you are who you are. And the utility failure, of course, is that. It is interesting because we were just checking one of the sites I'm working on. It's a lawyer, and we look at the top people in their city, and they're like in the top three mentioned in a large language model. Of course, this could change across prompts. We're just saying what we looked at. And then we saw that they were for a certain type, they were in the top three mentioned. But then we mentioned another city that they're in, and they're not there at all. They're not even in the mention in the page. And we changed it around a few times and couldn't find them. So it's sometimes it's just you're just not there because it's a large language model and it doesn't always see things the way a search engine would. So.
These are the early days, and search marketers are just working out their understandings of how the systems work. And I think we owe Larry Sucker a debt of gratitude here. He's identified three things that marketers can look at, three very real things. By the way, again, Chief Operating Officer at Trustworthy Digital, Larry Sucker. He's outlined three very real things: access failure, trust failure, utility failure, and given us words that we can use, a phrase that we can use that we now know this is what we're talking about. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, maybe he's partially right and wrong, but I think Larry has advanced our field a little bit.
Yeah, he made it easily consumable with the research that they did so people can identify where they could improve. Where generally it's like very technical based out of patents or too generic and it doesn't really help you address it very directly. So this is a very good article. It's a search engine land, it's not that large, but it has some good information for everybody.
Yeah, I think this is up there in the SEO must reads. Again, just because this is the language we're likely going to be using moving forward, or something along these lines. Okay, so this is a cool story too. 2 or 3 years ago, I would have said you got a big problem if it's only JavaScript. Now I know that Google can go through JavaScript like a knife through butter. Google's removed whole sections from its JavaScript SEO documentation because it's kind of outdated. Google can read ja content in JavaScript. Yes, you should make a response version available to
Oh,
it.
you have no, it has to render a page. So when they're saying reading JavaScript, like it'll read your tabs or your links or things like that. They will not take a page that doesn't have a render function. So if it's like React and there's no render function to the page, because they have the two different crawls, the raw HTML and the response HTML. So you have to have it in there. But
Yeah,
it can't, yeah. Yeah.
the render is going through all the JavaScripts and stuff. The response is the raw HTML back at it.
Yeah, exactly. But they are saying that there's a lot of things like Ajax back in the day. I don't know if people use it currently. Functions from React, things like that you were told you couldn't use because they couldn't read the JavaScript that requ was required to make something function. That's not the case anymore. It is good of them though, and I was glad that they put it in here that JavaScript is still an accessibility issue.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can't. You have to be very careful. And by the way, if you're accessible with CAG AA 2.1 standard, you're going to be read well also by large language models. Because the things that you do for accessibility are also things that make it easier for a large language model to ingest your page. So even though they took a lot of this stuff out, I was very happy to see that Google made sure people and reminded people that screen readers have to be able to read your page. It's a law in many states. You could be sued for it. It's like the new ambulance chasing if they can't. So make sure that you can see the page, and the page functions with JavaScript turned off. Just because Google can read JavaScript doesn't mean it's okay for accessibility.
Absolutely, but you know what? It's a dirty little secret that Google, that SEOs haven't, or Google didn't tell SEOs themselves. It's been about a year now where Google's been able to totally read through JavaScripts. It's been about a year where they have not had a problem.
Yeah,
But
that's,
they're just
yeah,
saying it now.
exactly. Yeah, so good to
Okay,
hear though.
according to a new Google Help document, frequent calling is a good thing. We like you. We're coming back for more. Well, you know, I think frequent calling does say we trust you. We want to see if there's new information here. We like your information, and we're going to keep ourselves availed.
Here's the thing, though, that a little bothers me a little bit about this article, though, is that your content doesn't have to be fresh if your content isn't needed to be fresh. That's only if your content needs to be fresh. So if I'm doing a new site and my content's old, of course, it's not going to crawl that. If I have a blog and it's never updated, of course, they're not going to crawl that. But if it's like an evergreen piece of content, then nothing ever changes. You don't need to go in there every month and change it just to get Google to crawl it. It stored it. It doesn't need a new version of it unless you had significant changes, like Google's JavaScript documentation. They just changed that documentation. So if that was on your site, Google would now crawl it again. But before that, they didn't need to change it every month because it's not fresh. Freshness, the full statement is query deserves freshness. Right, so something that is time dependent, or what else? What other? I forgot
Another
it.
way to think of this, though, is you could have a whole bunch of fairly stagnant evergreen content. It doesn't change very often. And if that's your entire website, then you're not going to get crawled very often. Google knows there's no changes happening here. This information
Right.
in February is going to be the same in May. So why spend the energy? If, on the other hand, you're posting new stuff, a couple of articles, a couple of explanations. And this is really important. Don't publish stuff for the sake of publishing stuff. Don't publish an article for the sake of publishing.
Right.
Publish an article because it's helping the people who are coming to your page. It's useful to them somehow. You can publish a billion of those things, but make sure that they're not junk, that they're actually really useful to somebody. And if you do, your stagnant content, if you've got you've interlinked your page properly, you've used a tool like InLinks or something, or Audience Key for that matter, you will even your evergreen content will be crawled more frequently because you've interlinked through the website and you're telling the crawler you should be checking this and checking this and checking this. Those links have got to be relevant and helpful, or Google's going to get annoyed, but they're there. It's the opportunity. You can make the paths. They're there.
Yeah, and the good thing is, if you're being called all the time, like I had an e-commerce site that was, $2 billion a year commerce site, and it got crawled like 1,000 times a day. It was insane.
It had a crap ton of
Had to
content
be,
too, though.
yeah. And prices that changed all the time, and stock that changed all the time. So, but someone might go, "Is that too much?" Is it? No, Google feels the need that it has to be there that frequently to catch everything. So.
Now, you know, no crawling is probably not a good sign. If Google doesn't care about you,
Yeah.
that's probably not good.
Because they'll, even if your site has got a lot of evergreen content, it'll still come back like once every few weeks or once a month and crawl the site to see if anything changed. So if it's not crawling those pages, then yeah, you do have a problem.
So Google AI mode is testing a new widget within search results that drive searches away from core search results and recipe listing cards and stuff like that into AI mode,
Which,
which
what does it
is pulling
do?
up craptastic Frankenstein-like recipes, recipes that are, well, you know how they made Frankenstein? Have you seen, by the way, have you seen the new Frankenstein,
I
the
have
Gilda
not,
Tormo?
no.
Oh, okay, you know what? Stop this podcast, stop recording this, and, well, actually do it tonight. It's better watch. Better watched in the dark. The new Guillermo del Toro Frankenstein is watch it on the largest screen you possibly can. It is phenomenal.
I heard it was really good.
But Frankenstein recipes aren't so phenomenal. So the way they made Frankenstein was by taking a bunch of body parts and putting it together and then reanimating him by like capturing electricity. You know how it goes. Frankenstein recipes, on the other hand, are when AI sort of grabs a whole bunch of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this and a little bit of that from similar recipes and puts them all together. And anyone who's worked in the kitchen knows that similar isn't the same.
Yeah, and I'd like to give a call out to Inspired Taste, who is one who's continually gone to Google about this issue. So this time, because we've reported on this issue multiple times, they never seem to get it right. So we thought this thread was done, but in the past 24 to 48 hours, things have gotten worse. We've started seeing a new AI mode recipe widget to get users to click over even on branded SERPs. In AI mode, we are still seeing full Frankenstein recipes riddled with errors as default. Now, with more of our photos and videos, though, we have not given permission for our content to be used this way, and the citations are a complete mess. Our domain recipe page is never cited, only third-party sites, not like that we'd fix the issue. That would fix the issue. And any other site did this, it would be considered scaled content abuse. All right, don't do as I say. I do, Google, do as I say, right? But yeah, this is a real big problem for people with recipe sites because they do spend so much time and effort on developing a perfect recipe. And this problem has been going on. How long have we been reporting on this? Like at least 6
No, I don't
months,
know, over a
right?
year, a long
Yeah, like,
time. That was it
yeah.
has, what we've been reporting on since November 2022, we just haven't known it.
So you know what people should do is do click over to the site or use the actual recipe card and ignore the AI mode stuff because you might get a disastrous recipe that is formed
My
by
partner
AI.
Shauna, honest to goodness, my partner Shauna is one of the people who makes recipes.
That's
She's
right, she
one
does,
of
yeah.
her things, and she will literally spend months working something over, usually my stomach. I'm her guinea pig, and literally she will make the same dish every week for months. Like, it's Thursday, we're having this, yay. Until she knows that she's got it down, this is how she wants to publish it. And I get it. Like, and then Google comes along and mashes it up with like somebody else's recipes. We have a friend, Allison, who also is a recipe writer, and she's great, but they have different kitchens. They do things differently.
And truly, truly, at this point, Google should just remove them from a recipe search. It's been over a year. They have not gotten it right. We've had three or four iterations. It's always wrong. It shouldn't be permitted to use AI to reproduce these recipes. They don't need to do it. The recipe cards work better. So really, at this point, Google should just remove the AI function from these pages. At least that's my point of view on this.
If you're playing around in AI overviews and you see a drop-down expandable accordion style interface and it looks weird, Google's experimenting with a new format. It may or may not stick around, but it's out there enough that people are seeing it with some frequency.
You know what the weird thing is though? When you see the image of it, it takes up the same space as the regular AI overview. So what's the point? It
It's
literally is.
probably it's honestly it's probably a machine compilation thing. It's
It
probably a
is.
programming thing.
It is. It's two divs that are lined up together that are the same height. But I'm just saying, like, why then put in the collapsible, expandable accordions? Because that's you put them into safe space. And it's not saving any space the way it's designed right now, as it takes up the same space, they're just collapsed. So, yeah.
No, you know what? You still have to crawl and download all the information that's within the accordion. That still has to be visible. Yep. So no, they're not even saving bytes.
No, nothing. It's there. So, anyway, I just thought it was weird.
Yeah.
So.
Google adds build to order attribute for vehicle listings. That's really kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really
So
interesting. Yeah.
you can tell the vehicle seller or manufacturer how to build your car, what you want, what options you want, right there, in Merchant Center.
Yeah, and this is in vehicle ads only, and it has a build to order function. And you have to add that, of course, to get people to be able to build to order. But that's pretty cool, especially if something's out of stock. That's when it can show up. Excuse me, my voice got really hoarse there for a second. So you can actually, if you have like a custom ordered function for your vehicles, you can make sure that if people can't find something, that they can order something they like anyway. So.
I think this is on one side, I think this is excellent. On the other, if I was a car dealer, I'd want my website to have it, but if I was a car salesman working for a car dealer, I'd be quite worried about this.
That too. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so Google is testing web mentions, I guess reviews that have been said on other URLs, other domains. It's testing adding web mentions to a retailer's store page under their own review section. So, like, you left a review for something, say maybe on Google Maps or something, or Google Local. Google will grab that review and sort of superimpose it over the retailer's store page while you're looking at it.
Yeah, so they did this in Maps, Google My Business. I had a
Yeah.
weird map experience where I had to click, I just wanted to know the time the store closed, right? I had to click 5 times into Google Maps on my mobile device to even get to that information. It was horrible. But they added these little review boxes. They were pretty worthless to me because it's just like one line of text. You know, it's like the whole review or anything like that. This is very similar, so I don't know if it'll be helpful or not. For people, because it was just annoying. I'm just trying to find the time this thing closes. I'm like, here are reviews. Here's everything else you need, but the time that the thing closes. This is actually a page for the business itself. So I don't know that it'll have the same effect, but I don't know. I'm looking at it right now and it's the same thing. It's 1 or 2 lines of text. I don't think it helps a whole lot.
Now, I think the real trick is being able to do it and then figuring out how to make it useful to the user from Google's point of view. You know, they pull the review information from third parties, put it over the web store of the retailer, the e-tailer. And you know, maybe it's going to be useful and accurate, maybe it's not. But the neat thing is they've matched that information out there and basically edged it onto the active website. That's neat and scary at the same time, given the other story, the patent we talked about, like, you know, several stories ago.
Yeah, that's true.
I hope it's good web mentions. You've spent so much time on your website, and the only web mentions they can find are people complaining about you.
Exactly, right? I have a client who only takes a certain kind of a customer, very high end, very low, you know, like 0.5% of their leads, and they get 1-star and 2-star reviews because someone they wouldn't take them. Right. And that would show up, but it's not that they did anything wrong. It's just that people are mad that they can't be their client. And they're like, we're sorry. We only take like a very small percentage of people. So anyway.
I'm like that as well in my business. I only take a certain select
Well,
clientele.
we're all
Yes.
consultants. We can only handle so many at a time too. So WordPress, going on, moving on. WordPress has created 3 new plugins that make it easy to add OpenAI, Google Gemini, or Anthropic Claude integration for PHP AI client SDK. The plugins enable text, image, function calling, and web search support. Again, these are not secure. Agents are not secure. I don't know. Like, have you seen the thing? And I don't know that this is doing specifically this, but have you seen the thing where it like will summarize the page at the bottom of the page? You click, and it takes you to like one of the models and summarizes it there. It's first of all, it's a disastrous user experience. It's really horrible, but it's not good for your website. And so you just need to be careful. Like writing straight text out of a GPT model is a really good way to get your site killed in Google. Doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen. So I don't know. I'd be very careful about adding these because when you add them based on permissions, how many people can use them on your site, right? If you have a big company and you have like 20 WordPress editors, and they have access to just create content with AI, you could wind up in a lot of trouble. And then it has
Now, you know
automatic.
what? I don't know enough about how these could be used on page. My mind is reeling with ways this could be used, but I also come back to security concerns, and the need to. I mean, these are labor saving devices that require so much monitoring. I'm not sure if you're actually saving labor.
Yeah, exactly. What they do right now is like they have like 3 ones with slightly different functions, but the basic function is automatic provider registration, extended support, function calling support, text generation with Claude models. And that's the thing I'm really concerned about people doing because I saw again last week someone whose whole site was killed because they used AI content straight out of a GPT. And if you're a big brand, that's not going to happen because you have so many other quality signals. But if you're an unknown brand or, a brand that doesn't have a lot of signals that show that you're just a high quality brand in itself, like you have a million links to your site or something, you could be opening yourself up to being devalued by Google for that reason.
Okay. This one is important. This is actually increasing value at Google. Yoast SEO's new schema aggregator. This is something we should be talking to Carolyn Shelby about sometime in the near future. Yoast has got a new feature that consolidates structured data and disambiguates entities like authors, articles, products, and organizations. In other words, it's making the schema easy for you.
Yeah, it's really great. It's complete, all indexable content included, no duplicate entities, no navigation clutter, relationships between entities preserved, respects existing privacy settings, and has fast cache responses. The disambiguation is really nice. I was working on a site where they used the wrong words for their site, and the only way the entity was defined in Google was something from 50 years ago. So I asked someone who does schema how to disambiguate, and they told me. And so we disambiguated from that 50-year-old definition to create a new definition for Google. So that's really helpful. So yeah, definitely we should have Carolyn on to talk about this. So.
Okay, so schema is machine learning language. There's two audiences for your websites. Now, there's always been two audiences for the entire history of SEO, by the way. There's always been the live human and the bot. Same diff today, except the bot's a little more sophisticated than the bot used to be before. The bot reads or learns better. Using various machine languages, the digital lingua, if you will, and schema is the one digital lingua, markup lingua that every search tool agrees to use and support together.
Yeah, and sorry, I skipped over something that was really, really important when I was reading that list. This is aggregate schema feature. So the things that it's doing is putting together aggregates of information from your schema. So it doesn't have to read every page individually when the page doesn't need to be read individually. That would have been helpful before I read that list. Sorry, folks.
Okay, so Google has confirmed that Google Discover feed has increased how often it shows social media posts in your feed. Remember that big core update that we reported on at the very beginning of the show? One of the effects is it's pulling a lot more social media into your Discover feed.
Yeah, you know what's weird too, though? They're doing it in search too. Have you seen that?
Yeah, and I'm not sure how I feel about it because, well, I mean, like, I'm like,
Hate
get
it.
this. We've had social media and search for a long time. Tw You remember the Twitter fire hose? I mean, who doesn't? That was about 20 years ago.
No, I wasn't that far, but yeah, it was a long time ago.
Quite a while ago. Okay, maybe 15 years ago, but quite a while ago. Yeah, everything is distilled down to short form content. Clickbait and quick hit opinions. That worries me a lot because you lose a lot of accuracy.
So John said about this recently, we started showing more social media posts and Discover in general, not just from X, but also from Instagram, TikTok, and several other sources. We're doing this because we found that users enjoy content written by humans or essentially shorter versions of content. Now that we're saying this type of content is the future and everything will turn into short form content, rather, it's something we're experimenting with. I expect the amount of social media content we show on Discover to vary over time. So if you see too many X posts, don't hesitate to let us know. We can pass that feedback along. If you feel the wrong type of social medias are being shown, it's also useful feedback and let them know. Currently, users have the ability to block certain accounts in Discover, similar to how they block specific sites. I expect this will be a signal to our teams to try and find better paths. If in part of your world or in the area you're interested in, this seems excessive or not useful for people, definitely let us know. The thing is, what I was just saying about regular organic search for about a month or so now, I'll put in something that requires a authoritative site, medical, financial, something of that nature. And I will get Yahoo, Like, you know, Yahoo, like Forum Post
Just
still
AI
exists
slop
somewhere.
is what you're getting back.
Yeah, and I'm getting like Facebook posts, LinkedIn posts, X posts, and I'm like, where is the legitimate piece of content? I definitely don't. They know intent. We know they know intent, right? If I'm looking at something medical, I don't want a Facebook post. I want a medical site, and I'll get to it eventually, right? But I might go through 8 or 9 or 10 social media posts, and they're not in the groups anymore like they used to be. They're listed like single listings. And I guess it must be an experiment group because I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this yet. And often I am because I'm in Google Labs. But it's like driving me crazy because I'm like, I just need a legitimate result. I don't need social media posts. And it's all social media posts. And it sounds like they're experimenting with the same thing in Discover, except in organic search, I can't tell them I don't want this there.
Google, if you find that other people like stealing your traffic is hurting a lot, you should just pour some apple cider vinegar over it. That'll make everything better.
Right, or drink a gallon of your urine to get rid of kidney stones.
The wisdom of the masses, apple cider vinegar or urine, they're equally effective, really.
But it is
Okay.
really frustrating to have that. So,
Okay. We got to get out of Dodge. We got a couple quick
yeah.
stories, quick hit stories, just to get your endorphins going. Everyone loves that. And we got to get going. Google is testing bolding site names in search results. That's probably a good idea. Although I kind of like having the URL in there as well.
Yeah, true. But it's just a bold. It's
It's good. No, it's
whatever.
good. Bold
Yeah,
it. Let me
it's
know
in
where I'm
it.
going.
Exactly. Google search has wider images for some travel queries, so they're just making a wider, like a 9 by 16 style image versus what's the other one, 4 by 1, I think,
Yeah.
in the search results, so you can get a better view. That's
Google
good. Makes
is
sense.
color coding the knowledge panel. It's adding color sections, sometimes gray, sometimes blue, sometimes orange, green, maybe more. I guess it's just going to be making different sections of the knowledge panel stand out more against other sections.
Yeah, they already do that. And when you get a main one on the page, which is the top of the page, this is also now the table elements on like the side panels. It's fine. I mean,
I hope it
it
looks
does make
good.
it stand out. Yeah, it makes it stand out.
If they really want to drive the Republicans crazy, they can make it like rainbow colored. They probably won't, though, given that they're becoming Republicans themselves. Okay, lastly, Google Ad Label sponsored options in the area. Where is this
Yeah.
going?
Yeah, you
Sponsored
remember we saw
options in
spot
the area? What? Oh,
like
I get this. Okay, so
such
sponsored
a
option near
weird,
you,
yeah.
basically.
It's sort of like sponsored places that we did like last week. That was kind of weird. This is uses dynamic labels for some ad groupings. This is SE Roundtable. We see tons of variations on these, according to Barry. He's not sure if they mean anything specific, which they kind of really don't. It's just like near you, basically. Except their ads, of course. I don't see anything else about them that makes them snap. This is one of those ones, Jim and I like read the article and we're still like, I don't
What
understand
the
the function
hell?
here. Why is this a thing?
I get it.
Why?
In the area, though, is akin to near you.
Near you makes so much more sense though than in the area. It's a lot to read on
So
the phone.
Google likes to group stuff together. When it groups stuff together, it's telling you we've made a grouping of things. Look, we can group stuff. And here's our dynamic label, sponsored options near you, in the area near you.
Yeah.
We grouped it. Now we must contextualize our work. Here's why.
That's a really good
Here's
way
why.
to put it. Yeah, exactly.
Google loves to
And
explain. And so do we, which is
yes,
why we
I
do this
wish I
every
had
week.
a good end story this week, but there is so much going on today that I didn't get a chance to find one. And there wasn't an obvious one anywhere, so unfortunately.
Well, again, Google loves to explain, and so do we, which is why we
But.
do this each week, which is why we love you, the listeners. Thank you very much for listening, because we've gone full clock. We've been around the circle. We've actually probably gone a little bit overtime, but our producers love us for that. We know they do. So on behalf of Christine Chack and Different Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You've been listening to Webcology, recorded live to podcast on the 5th of March, 2026. What do you even say about the world right now, except
I know it's been a
try
day.
to be patient with each other, be kind. People are so freaking stressed right now. We are not necessarily showing each other our best sides. but you can choose to show everybody else your best side. So I'm going to try to do that, and I fail often, but I'm sure you guys will. Anyway, be kind to each other. Be nice to each other. Rain love and happiness down rather than hatred and war and bombs and stuff. And rank well, be well, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.